within us. Which then this week leads us not only to being able to live with some hope, but then to be people who are living holy and doing it on purpose. And I think we have the wrong sermon in the slide. So that's okay. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. We're going to be taking a look at living holy and living holy on purpose. Living holy on purpose. We've already read this passage of Scripture. Hopefully you've held on to it. Hopefully you have your Bibles there, whether it's in your app or whether it is in pages on your lap. Your app or your lap, did you get it? Y'all aren't paying any attention. All right. Okay. As we take a look at this letter worth reading, and we take a look at what it means to be holy, we read this passage, I'm struck. Maybe you are too. Anytime I get to a passage of Scripture and it says something as outrageous as verses 15 and 16 says, at least in my understanding of it, it seems outrageous. But let me just remind you of what it says. Verse 15, it says, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Whoa! Wait a minute. How in the world is that supposed to happen? How can God even think that we in our fallen position, in our depraved experience, living in our corrupt society and cultures, how in the world can He possibly want us to live holy? Well, the first thing that you and I need to recognize is that because this verse is here, we know living holy is possible. Now, we can whine and we can complain all we want to, but the bottom line is, because Scripture says it is possible, that it is mandated for us to be holy as He is holy, then we need to recognize it's possible. The first thing that it says is, as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy. So that means God is holy. In the same way that God is holy, we are to be holy. Now, immediately what happens to most of us is we start thinking of all the attributes of God, and we think of all of the perfection that is God, and we go, there ain't no way I can be that good. All right? I got one honest person over here. All right. No, I mean, we all will say, I can't be perfect. That's not what it says. It says be holy. One of the struggles that often we have is that we get confused as to what this means. Holiness is a God characteristic. It is the fact that He is set apart for Himself for His own purposes. He is holy, meaning that He is without distraction. He is 100% committed to Himself as being who He is. Now this, folks, is not the same as you or I or somebody from California saying we're just trying to find ourselves. The reality is, for God, His being holy is being true to who He is. It is a baseline or defining characteristic of God. Even when we are instructed by Jesus to pray, and He is teaching His disciples how to pray, He says, hallowed, holiness be characterized in the context of your name. It's a defining characteristic. So we are living holy on purpose. And as I read the Scripture for you in verses 15 and 16, He has called us to be holy. We are to be holy in all of our conduct. That's the other part of it that we get sidetracked for. We see conduct. We see that and we think behavior. And behavior is certainly a part of it. And so we start thinking, well, that means God wants me to be perfect. That I'm supposed to never mess up. Well, you know, that's true. But the more you and I don't think about lunch. Stop thinking about lunch. Don't think. Quit thinking about the smell of that roast. Yeah. Yeah, and we've been making excuses for a lot of things that way. They're all of our existence as best. The reality is, when we start thinking and focusing on behavior, we start thinking and focusing on our inability to behave. Which is, I think, one of the reasons why the Scripture doesn't tell us to be good and be perfect and to tells us to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Holy is whatever God is. He is focused on Himself. He is true to Himself. He lives out His character and will never deny the reality of His character. The question that you and I have to answer if we're going to be people who are living holy on purpose is that we've got to come to grips with the number one, the reality that living holy is possible. It really is possible. That God, being holy by His nature, therefore saves us and redeems us and makes us believers who are holy by the reality of our new nature. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, the Scripture tells us that when you repent of your sin and you commit yourself to Him for the rest of your life, God commits Himself to you and you become a new creation. Things have changed on the inside. Now, just like a lot of other things that we are a part of and that we know of, just because something is brand new on the inside doesn't mean that it's been cleaned up on the outside. Right? The reality is that that takes hold. Your outside, my outside, becomes redeemed, becomes changed. Why? Because we become focused on the things of God. Our holiness is about not just trying to change our behavior. It is not a matter of behavior modification. Our holiness is about focusing our hearts and our minds exclusively on the One who makes us holy. We can't save ourselves. No matter how hard you try, you cannot save yourself. It is an act of God's grace through faith. And even the faith is not of yourself. It's a gift from God. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. The reality for each of us is that if God doesn't do it, it doesn't happen. Guess what? Holiness is the same way. We've had different terminology for it through the centuries as Christians. Sanctification is one of the words. The process of getting saved and what happens between now and the time that you are experiencing glorification, where you go to be with God, whether through death or through His return. It's been called, a deeper life. It's been called spiritual growth. It's been called spiritual disciplines. It's been called all kinds of different things. The bottom line for all of those is they are not things that on your own you can accomplish. You know why Christians tend, or people who claim to be Christians, who profess that they are Christians, why so many of them are miserable? They're just upset people. Have you noticed that? You know, they just look like they're tired, frustrated, mad at something. You know? It's because they're trying
and know they're supposed to be holy, and they can't figure out how to do it on their own. Because we figure we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to make it happen. God said I'm supposed to be holy, so I'm trying to be holy, so get out of my way! That's how we are. We don't even realize.
Peter is trying to remind us that we can't save ourselves. In the same way that we can't save ourselves, we can't holy ourselves. We can't make ourselves holy. It's because He is holy that we can be holy. Because we are following Him. And in our following Him, He makes us holy. What that means is we become totally focused on pleasing Him. Scripture calls it all kinds of things. Having the mind of Christ. It talks about how we give ourselves to Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not a matter of you getting saved at some point in your life and now you're going to spend the rest of your life trying to live up to getting saved when you were younger. I'm sorry if somebody told you that's how it was supposed to be. And I hope you'll forgive me if that's ever come out of my lips. But that's not how we are to live the Christian life. We live as Christians by living for Jesus. Not living to try and please Jesus on our own, but in relationship with Jesus so we are able to hear His voice and respond to Him. And when He tells us to go and to do something, we are wholly set apart to do what He says. When we read something in Scripture and it captures our mind and our hearts, we set ourselves apart to be that person, to do that, to act that way, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but because we have been set apart as holy to Him. Believers are holy because we have a new nature. We can't save ourselves. We can't holy ourselves. Peter is saying, act like God because we are to be like God. And that means if we are focusing on Him, He will lead us in that path. Boy, I tell you, it's hard to unlearn this. It really is. It's hard to unlearn this. We've been trying for so long. We've been trying to be holy, to make ourselves holy, thinking that that's somehow or other supposed to be perfection. When in reality, what holiness is a life that we are pursuing of being totally set apart for God. Living holy is worth pursuing. Not only is it possible, but it's worth pursuing because it's what we are as believers, followers of Jesus. I grew up in what is typically called modernism. Then there's now postmodernism, and pretty soon there's going to be post-postmodernism or something else that they'll come up with. But in modernism, one of the things that characterized it, just one of the things, is a tendency to like to have checklists. Things that we can check off and say, okay, we're done with that. We like to have our tasks. We like to have our projects. We like to have those things that we are supposed to be doing. And we like to be able to just check those puppies off. Come on now, some of you are smiling, but not as many of you as I think probably recognize the truth of this. You love having those sticky notes that you just take off and crumple up when you're done, right? There's just that sense of saying, I got a project, I got it done, I got it done, I got it done. I am done. Now I can do what I want to do for the rest of the day. That's assuming your checklist was short enough to where you got it done for that day. For some of us, that checklist just gets moved over to the next day and we just keep going. But sometimes our goal is to get it all done so that we can have time for ourselves. If we're not careful, we start thinking of Christianity exactly the same way. I have all of these Christian things I'm supposed to do in order to be a good Christian. I need to read my Bible in the morning, or at least have a devotional, or at least, you know, that act that keeps pushing that stuff to me. I need to read it every now and then, at least. You know, I need to do that every morning. I need to have a quiet time. I need to have a devotional. I need to make sure that having had that devotional, I pray a little bit. Then I talk to God about my day. I need to check that off the list. I need to make sure that I'm going to do all the things that are expected. I'm going to not yell at my kids today. Good luck at checking that one off. I'm going to not this. I'm going to this. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. Now, am I saying that having checklists are bad? No. But if your checklist is there so that you can get done with those things in your Christian life, and then think that the rest of your time is yours, you've missed what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about trying to do enough stuff to please God. We've got enough people in our world who think that that's how you get saved. And if you think that that's what it takes to get saved, you've missed it. It's about confessing the reality of your sin, the fact that you can never do enough good stuff to please God. It's about recognizing that there is no hope for you apart from the living hope that is found in Jesus Christ. It's the reality that you and I must say, I'm wrong, and you're right. And our living out the Christian life is a continuation of that. It's not a, that's done, now let's move on to what's next. What's next is continuing to do that every day, continuing to live in that relationship every day, continuing to hear what God is saying. Because God is always going to be true to His character, and He wants you to be true to the new character He has placed in you. That new man, that new woman, that new person that He has placed in you when you got saved. Living holy is worth pursuing because being like God in His character is what we were created for. If you go back and read the early accounts of Adam and Eve walking in the garden and just being in relationship with God, and God would come down and He would walk with them and they would talk, and there wasn't like this formal thing where he had to get on his knees in order to talk to God or bow his head in order to... They were just in relationship, and it was a normal, natural, expected. And it was good. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, what's been placed inside of you, that new creation, is the life that only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ by God as He reawakens you. He makes you alive again so that you can be in relationship with Him. And holiness is being committed to that relationship. Setting that apart and not making it one of the compartments of your life, but making it everything in your life. So, well, preacher, if I did that, I'd never get anything done. Oh, what you and I would truly be able to see happen would be phenomenal. So, well, yeah, but, you know, if I'm sitting there just kind of, God, how am I going to get my chores done? How am I going to go to work? That's where it all gets worked out. They walked in the garden. Adam tended the garden. Adam had work to do. We take Jesus wherever we go. Our holiness is not something we put on like a cloak. It is who we are that shines through because we are wholly set apart for the purpose and work and character of Christ. Our becoming like God in character is what He paid the price of His Son for. He desires for you to walk in the grace of Jesus, to walk in the purpose of Jesus, to walk in the sufficiency of Jesus. That's so worth pursuing. Peter's words here declare that the defining characteristic of holiness in our lives is something a little bit surprising unless you know that it was the center of the heart of Jesus for his followers. It's that we love the brothers. In verses 22 and 23, we read this: by obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Holiness finds its physical expression not in how many people you win to Jesus, although that will be there, not in what your attendance records look like for church and Sunday school, although that will be there. It's in how much you love your brothers and your sisters. If you're going to be like God, if we're going to be wholly devoted to who He is, He loved everyone in this room who is His child enough to die for. And when we become holy, we grow in our love for one another, just like Jesus loved. And we become wholly set apart for God's purposes, which means I'm willing to die for you. And you're willing to die for me. Not just in October for our Pastor Appreciation Sunday, but because we are wholly devoted to Jesus, which makes us then holy, set apart for His service. And when we are that, we show love to one another. And when we are that, we love our neighbors as ourselves. When we are that, we love God and His Word above everything else, which means that if there is a choice between being socially acceptable and having to be biblically true, we choose being biblically true. If there's a choice between going along with the crowd and holding fast to what is taught in the Word of God, we hold fast to what's taught in the Word of God. Why? Because I have been set apart for His service, and I want to be a clean vessel for His use so that He can do exponentially more abundantly things in my life than has ever happened before. Not because I'm so good, but because I'm so willing to be His. You want to be holy on purpose? That's what it's going to take. It's going to take changing your motivation. Changing your motivation from just trying to be good for somebody's sake, for your mama's sake, for your daddy's sake, for your family, for your teacher who expects that of you, or a friend, or even a pastor. I'm not reason enough for you to live holy and to be devoted to God. Why? Because there are going to be times when you're going to get mad at me. It happens. And you need to still be devoted to God. You need to be focused on Him and resolve to live set apart lives because of our love for the One who set us apart. That's what it's about. This sermon may be hard for you to hear. It may not even seem easy for you to understand. It may be because I'm having to preach this to myself as I preach it to you. I know that there are places in my life that have not been wholly devoted to Him. I imagine that's probably true for you too. But if we're going to experience the awesome presence and power of God in our lives and in our church,
We have to rely on the living hope that is found in Christ. And we've got to be willing to submit ourselves to God so that He will make us holy, set apart for His service, so that He can use us in awesome, unbelievable ways. Would you pray with me, please?
Father, we thank You so much that as You come to us and as You are with us today, that You will speak to us.